Blog Talk Radio.
So many things to talk about. So little time. Where to start? Wait, I think I got it. Whoa. All right, Real Sports Talk Radio, live on the air every Friday night from 9:30 to 11, exclusively here on BackSportsPage.com and Blog Talk Radio. I am the one and only Randy Celia, along with the angry one, Jose Padilla. It is Friday night, the date, June 28th, last Friday night in June, and we're officially, really, into summer. 760-283-0846 if you want to join in for 90 minutes of fun sports talk action. I guess that's the right way of saying it. And you can follow us on Twitter at RandyBSB and AngryJose15. Hashtag us at Real Sports Talk Radio and Back Sports Page. And with that in mind, I say good evening, Mr. Padilla. Good evening, Mrs. Ella. How are you doing? You know, it's funny. We've been friends for all these years and still can't pronounce my last name, but that's okay. It is Randy Zellia, but that's okay. I love you anyway.
I do it purposely.
I know you do. And let's just start this thing off with a hate that we all know and love.
Oh, man.
So, there's so much going on. We can talk about the Aaron Hernandez situation, which we're going to touch on later on tonight. We're going to touch on the Yankees versus Alex Rodriguez. We'll touch on that later on tonight. We're going to talk about the NBA draft.
Mostly the NBA draft
and some of the moves that happened with it, including the big blockbuster between the Nets and the Boston Celtics, which I have been very outspoken on the last 24 hours.
Me and Randy actually agree on this.
Yeah, this is a unprecedented situation here. But where we start today is a very touchy situation, and I'm not talking about the Aaron Hernandez thing. I think people who listen to the show consistently know how we feel about the situation. We need to know, Jose, where exactly is the picture of you from the softball?
Well, I don't know what to say about this whole Aaron Hernandez situation. You know, the timeline basically all started when there was talk that there was going to be an arrest. All of a sudden, Aaron Hernandez gets unceremoniously released. And as soon as he was released, I think we all knew that this was the beginning of the end. Because as we know, even though the inmates were in the asylum, someone of that talent would just not get released unless there was some inside information given to said team, in this case, the Patriots. And I know people kept saying, well, this is the Patriots, they're a classy organization, they just want to get rid of this guy. No. You do not get rid of a talent like Aaron Hernandez unless you know for sure he is not going to be available. And that was the first indication that something was going
horribly
wrong.
I know I just jokingly let in with the fact that we still haven't seen the picture of you in the tutu. But I guess this is really the right place we really should start, because this has been the overwhelming story of the week for not only the National Football League, but for the New England Patriots and just in general. It was funny, a couple years ago when Chris Benoit had that incident with the WWE where he killed his wife and killed his child. You know, you read some of the stories after the fact where you hear, like, you know, Chris Jericho made a comment saying, you know, if you can't trust Chris Benoit, we learned that he's a monster. Apparently Aaron Hernandez is a monster, and which we don't, like, really get it at that point. Like, is he really... This is a conspiracy where he's planning on killing people, and now there's other murders linked from him years past?
I think when someone like Aaron Hernandez, and I hate to bring up this particular subject because it's very touch and go, but, you know, speaking as a minority, you know, I think a lot of times when you grow up either privileged or not as worse or not as bad off as most people tend to think minorities grew up in society. We feel a pressure to try to show others that, you know, we're still tough, that we're still badasses, that we're capable of being that tough guy when we need to be. And I'm trying to figure out with Aaron Hernandez if it's an act or if this is really him. And we've seen many, many times where an act leads to something that there's no turning back from. And right now, I think that's what everyone's trying to figure out, really. Is this the real Aaron Hernandez, or was this just a show that got way out of control and spinned to a place where Aaron Hernandez had no chance of coming back from?
I'll be honest with you. When this story broke, I was thinking, well, you know, he's involved with it. Is he really involved with it? How much of it is true? And as much as we really didn't want to believe it, because what Christians are saying, this is a professional football player, you know, this and that. Like, the more this time has come on, it seems like it's getting worse, and it's taking a longer turn every single time we go. Now, if you remember correctly, I messaged you on Wednesday. And I said to you on Wednesday, I'm like, he's in trouble. And you're like, well, we don't know that yet. Probably not that big of a thing that we're, you know. I said, now, as soon as I heard that they're not going to let him know what the charges were until he's arraigned in court, that's when you knew how much trouble he was really in.
Again, when you had texted me that, I was still under the impression that it was just an obstruction of justice. However, that's an old elbow boost. Literally, like, I want to say, like, maybe 20 minutes after you had texted me, that's when
I knew something was going on. I think you might have
saw my tweet,
man.
I said,
oh,
now he's in trouble.
Yeah. Now he's in big trouble. And I'll be honest with you, if he's guilty, like they're predicting he's going to be, and he's in much trouble, he doesn't deserve it. He doesn't deserve bail. He doesn't deserve it.
No. And he didn't get it, and... You know, listen, when you're up for murder, you know, when you got murder charges on you, they don't have the death penalty in this area where he's at, Massachusetts, so that's fine. But he's going to be in prison for the rest of his life if he gets convicted. Now, again, we have to tread carefully on this because he has not been convicted, right?
Right,
he is discharged. We don't know what's going on. We still don't know if they found the weapon.
Well,
I believe one of the accomplices was brought in today.
Yeah.
Both
accomplices have been brought in, and... Another suspect brought in the Hernandez case called, this is courtesy of ESPN.com. It's a real ugly situation. And, you know, this is not what sports is about, but sadly this is starting to become what the NFL has become. I think since the Super Bowl, what's the number, 28? There's been 28 arrests.
Something like that, 28, 29, something like that. Yeah,
and it's not good. That's really not a good thing. And that's just where we're at right now. Real quick, another note on this, on a positive note, what the Patriots are trying to make a good spin on this. The Patriots are offering a jersey exchange. If you bought a jersey from their pro shop, now how they're going to really balance that out on how do you know who really bought what? If you're in the New England area and you decide you want to exchange your Aaron Hernandez jersey for a Tom Brady, Tebow, something like a Gronkowski, you can trade that in because they want to try and make good to their fans. And I think that's one of the most respectful things you could do. Like, Giants are not going to say, listen, Plaxico shot himself, but if you want to bring in your jersey, we'll give you a Eli Manning jersey. Giants, like, this is a good thing for the Patriots to do that. And it's also, you know, building more excitement towards their season. I really feel bad for the Patriot fans that they have to deal with this, but... This is a monster that they're able to cage. And the only people who as far as Aaron Hernandez is concerned, I feel for his fiance, and I feel for his 9-month-old baby.
Well, I don't want to jump the shark too much on this, and I don't want to go too far ahead. But let's say that once everything is done and all the court hearings and everything is done, what if it comes out that Aaron Hernandez gets proven not guilty of these charges? And I know it's way too early for that. Let's just say this ends up being the end-all, be-all on this. What then? mean, because basically now the Patriots have gotten rid of this guy. He's never going to go back there. I mean, we're basically ruining his reputation. Now, and again, just because you don't get found guilty in court doesn't mean you're not guilty. It just means that you charged him.
O.J. Simpson. Look at O.J.
So what do you think will happen then?
I think he'll get picked up. I'll be honest with you, though. I think right now this is what we're now entering unprecedented area now. We're going into a section now of this story that it's getting uglier and uglier with every stone we're unturning. And I think this might be worse than the Chris Benoit situation from 2007. This is worse than the O.J. situation. Listen.
I'm not sure about that one,
okay.
But I listen to what you're saying, though.
Like, look, and I'm not encouraging any type of homicide or murder crime. I'm not saying that. But sometimes situations happen where things, you know, people, these crimes happen on a whim. You know what I mean? Aaron Hernandez, if he's found guilty, and the way they're telling the story is this was a cold, calculated plan. That he planned this out to have somebody killed. And he's involved with other murders that he's being investigated. Two other murders from 2012. Okay? This is not a, you know, yeah, it happened and we lost control of the situation. He planned every step of this.
Well, we're assuming.
But right now, he's being accused of planning every step of this.
Yeah.
And they're sitting there saying that the guy who he murdered knew what was coming because he was sending texts to his sister. And now the text message is coming out, and he was giving her hints of who he was with. And that's now how the story is getting pieced together. It's really scary. It's going to be very unprecedented when this whole thing keeps coming around and pieces are getting unfolded. Last question for you on this, and then we're going to get on to some happy news. Or as happy as I can make it. My question to you is, at the end of the day, if you had to predict with what you learned so far, do you think he's going to be proven guilty in the court of law?
I would like to see if they actually found the weapon. Because without the weapon, it's just a lot of hearsay and innuendo. I need to see that they found the weapon. Now, they might have found it and are holding back on that for the actual case. But if you don't have a weapon, you don't have a case. So I would say this. I do believe that Aaron Hernandez has something to do with this. I don't want to go on and say how much because I need to see what else they have. But I do believe he was definitely involved in this situation. Whether he pulled the trigger himself or he orchestrated the murder. But he definitely has something to do with this.
Does he deserve that bail?
No. If you know, once you get charged with this, you know, once you get charged with, you know, murder one, you know, that's it. You usually don't get bail. So, and I would think he would be a flight risk if he did, because even though he's a well-known person, or at least, you know, an athlete who's somewhat well-known, it wouldn't take much for him to go to Cuba and just be done with it.
This is going to be obviously a story we're going to be talking about for the weeks to come. It's an ugly situation. I'm not really happy that we're getting as much detail as we're getting from it, but it is what it is. And right now, it's going to be time to tell what you know, Aaron Hernandez, you know, made his own bed. He's got to sleep in it now.
Yep.
And, you know, like you just said, he hasn't been found guilty yet. But I think this is just sort of a matter of time.
There's a long way to go on this. But
let's move on.
There's lots of happier things now.
And
funnier things as far as I'm concerned.
Before we jump into the Nets and Celtics trade, I want to start on some of the other parts of the NBA that we're sort of missing out on. And let's start from the beginning of the week. The Doc Rivers deal the Clippers finally got done. I hate this deal. I hate on how this whole thing went down. I'm sort of like you in a way where if you're contracted to coach a team for three, 4 years, 5 years, 6 year deal, unless they fire you, live out your contract. Whether they're rebuilding, whether they're a championship contender, follow through on your commitment.
Well, here's the thing, though, Randy. We got to look at it from Boston's point of view. You know you're rebuilding. Why do you want to pay a coach $7 million plus to coached team that's not going to be any good as far as they're concerned. You know, I understand from Boston's side why they would want to do this as well. You know, obviously Doc doesn't want to be involved in a rebuilding mode, although, in all fairness, why does he sign a long extension then? If you know that this is going to happen eventually. Paul Pierce and Kevin Garnett are not playing the whole time you're going to be there. It's as simple as that.
Did you know that your last season we were going to have Rondo get hurt and you were going to be the seventh seed? Did you know? Listen, I know you thought I was crazy when I said they were going to be the number one seed, but were you expecting them to be the number seven seed?
I didn't think they were going to be good. I stated that very clearly. I think before the season started, I actually said it was funny that I thought you finally picked the year. The one year where I felt that they weren't going to be good was the year that you jumped on the bandwagon. I've been telling you the prior years that you needed to get on that bandwagon. So you finally do it the year I tell you it's not a good idea. So while I'm not surprised, I'm surprised that the Knicks finished ahead of them. I thought they would still win because I did not realize how good the Knicks were going to be. I thought the Knicks would be good. I didn't think they were going to be 54 wins good.
Were the Knicks that good or were the Celtics that not playing
that well? I think the Knicks were that good, but I think it's both. I think the Knicks picked up the game a lot more than we thought they would, and the Celtics dropped a lot more than I thought they would.
Do you blame Doc Rivers for picking up and going?
No, I blame old guys. They're old. You know, they lost Rajon, but, you know, to be honest, Rajon, when he was there, they weren't that good. It's when he left where they got pretty decent. Listen, that team is old. And they're going to have up and downs. It's just as simple as that. You know, I think everyone, even now, if you think KG and Paul Pierce are going to be coming into the league next year, 27 and 25 years old, playing at that level, you're nuts. It's not going to happen. So I just can't. I'm not buying it, and we'll get into that screen, but we're still talking about Doc Rivers. I don't blame taking out Doc Rivers. To be honest with you, I don't understand why everyone's all on Doc Rivers anyway. He's not in the house, to be honest with you.
Listen, I agree with you to a point. I agree with you. Let's hear what our callers have to say. Real Sports Talk Radio, you're on with Randy and Jose. Who's this?
Hey, guys, this is Mike. I had to call in. I'm a lifelong Boston Celtics fan. And as a Celtics fan, no animosity to Doc Rivers at all. The day he steps into TD Garden next year with the Clippers, he's going to get a standing ovation. There's no reason to keep him here. Going through a rebuild, and I think he left on pretty decent terms with Ainge. I could see a scenario 3-4 years down the road when the Celtics are a contender again where Doc Rivers would come back to Boston. As far as KG and Paul Pierce, as a Celtics fan, we'll be rooting for Brooklyn next year. We're not going to be able to contend with them anyway, and obviously we hate the Knicks. We hate Miami, so I'd love to see KG or Pierce get another title before they end their NBA careers.
My question to you is, though, going into this season, because Jose and I were just saying this before, like I predicted the Celtics in the beginning of the year to be the number one seed over Miami because I thought the moves that they made were very, very good. And I thought they filled a lot of holes that Miami wouldn't be able to guard. As a Celtics fan, do you feel that this was something that was coming for the rebuild, or was this something that you felt where they were just going to retool?
I'll put it to you this way. If Rajon Rondo wouldn't have went down mid-season, no one can tell me that they wouldn't have beat the Knicks in the first round and then gave the Heat a fair deal. The thing about Rondo, guys, is he's averaging the regular season, but when the postseason starts, he's a walking triple-double. He takes the team to a next level. And the thing about the Knicks series is they had Avery Bradley and Terry trying to play the point guard role. So everybody thinks as bad as years Boston had last year, that they were getting old or whatever. No one can convince me that if Rondo wasn't in the lineup, that things would have been a lot different. Just like the year before when they took the Miami Heat to 7 games. And this year, we would have had a Jeff Green and a few other players we didn't even have that year before.
You know, it's funny, too. I said if you had Rondo, you wouldn't even be the 7th seed. You'd probably be a 6 or maybe even a 5. Things would have been different. Are you okay with the trade of what you received back from Brooklyn?
Yeah, I'm okay with it. Obviously, the key is going to be luck. You know, they're going to have to get lucky next year or the year after with one of these draft picks, you know, to get in the lottery and to get a guy like Wiggins or Parker. So it's hard to tell. I like the picks. I like, you know, Humphrey's contract. You know, they're going to be able to get rid of that. You know, he's on the last year, Bogans. Marshawn Brooks, you know, he's even a guy you could probably get a draft pick for next year. So overall, yeah, I mean, Garnett and Pierce were leaving anyway. Doc Rivers, no reason to put him through a rebuild. You got four first-round picks. So if Danny Ainge can, you know, translate that 2-3 years, I have no problem with it. Excuse me, with the deal at all.
Well, appreciate your call. We appreciate the time. What we're going to do is keep listening because we're going to talk about what the lineups for both the Nets and the Celtics look like now and what they're going to do for the future of the both teams.
Before I go, I'd like to say something about the Nets. I like the roster, but to beat the Miami Heat, they are going to have to sign a good wing defender, someone like Tony Allen, because with Paul Pierce and Joe Johnson, those two are not going to be able to hold up against Dwayne Wade or LeBron James. The strength that they're going to have is tight and rebounding over Miami. I mean, Lopez, Garnett, off the bench, Reggie Evans, you got Mason Plumlee now, maybe even Blatch. But you have to get a legitimate wing defender in a seven-game series to go against LeBron and Wade if you think you're going to beat Miami. But that's my thoughts on the Nets. Thanks for the time, guys.
Thank you. Appreciate you giving us a call. You know, he brought up a lot of good points. One of the things he brought up, too, was what the Nets are going to have to do. And I think now my goal is, you know, we'll go back to Doc. We'll get back to Doc in a minute. Let's talk about this trade. The Nets and the Celtics made a huge blockbuster deal involving the main pieces being Paul Pierce and Kevin Garnett going to the Brooklyn Nets. In return, and also Jason Terry is involved with this deal too.
Pretty much, yeah. It's pretty much it from Boston.
I'll be honest with you. I don't like the trade. I said this to you last night. I said this to you this morning. I don't think this was – if you're the Nets, I know you're all in, and, like, you mortgaged your draft picks. Like, I told you I hated all the deals they made last year, bringing Joe Johnson in, bringing in keeping Gerald Wallace, re-signing Chris Humphreys. If it was me, I would have sort of just hung out and thought it would be Oklahoma City Thunder way. And I know a lot that's not a real popular decision by a lot of fans and a lot of teams, a lot of organizations. But there's a difference between going all in and trying to do things the right way. Look, the Oklahoma City Thunder, they would have had Westbrook. They could have been back in the finals against Miami this year.
My whole issue with this is that they basically decided that we are going to go all in, and this is all Prokhorov, and we want to try to win the title. Problem is that they're trying to win a title with a team that I think is done. You got a guy who's 35, you got a guy who's 37. These are supposed to be these are the main components of a trade that you brought in to help you win a title. But this team is still not good enough to beat Miami.
You want the full trade?
Sure, why not, since you got it up.
Okay, full trade. The Nets get Kevin Garnett, Paul Pierce, and Jason Terry. And the Celtics are getting Keith Bogans, Chris Joseph, Chris Humphreys, Marshawn Brooks, and Gerald Wallace, plus three first-round draft picks in 2014, 2016, and 2018. I personally think this was way too much to give up. I'm upset that they put Marshawn Brooks in this deal. And I think if you're a Nets fan, Chris Humphreys, here's the door. Don't come back. Leave your jersey in the locker and, you know, see it out. Gerald Wallace, I've always said he's a number one on a really bad team, a number three or a number four on a really good team. And then last year he was sort of got lost in that shuffle. You know who the real pressure on is on here is on Jason Kidd, our first-year coach. Dealing with two guys who he's dealt with as adversaries on the court for all these years.
See, I don't know if they think that this is going to make things easier for Jason Kidd. I don't think it will. You know, now you have all these egos you're going to have to manage now, and he's never done it before. I'm sure Jason Kidd is one of these guys who's going to believe that, you know, this is how I did it, so I expect you to do it. And some guys are not going to be able to do it.
No, they're not going to be able to do it. And there's three very interesting components, four interesting components with the next situation. You have the rehiring of Lawrence Frank back on the bench, who's supposed to help him. Like, someone said to me, the next top assistant is going to be usually the next coach when the coach gets fired and doesn't come back. So now you're going a second go-around with Lawrence Frank, just like the Cleveland Cavaliers had a second go-around with Mike Brown.
Yeah. But I should have never gone with Mike Brown to begin with.
Well, that's another story. Yeah. We'll go over that at another point. But, yeah, but the other key component now is Darren Williams and Jason Kidd are friends. I don't think that's going to end well.
No.
I don't think it's going to end well.
And that's why anyone who thinks that this is just going to be an easy-go-lucky thing and they're going to be a contender for a title, you're just crazy. There's no way that you can say that this is going to be easy. Not at all. Again, unless you're going to tell me that Kevin Garnett and Paul Pierce are going to be able to play 95% of the games for this team this year without having been banged up or injured, because Lord knows they didn't do it last year, you know, there's no way you can convince me that this is a good trade. It's not a good trade on the Nets point of view. It's a good trade for the Celtics. And I had a discussion with someone I work with today about those draft picks. And he's of the mind that the draft picks are, you know, they're really not that big a deal. Let me tell you something. Next year's draft is loaded. And I know Randy doesn't follow it as much as I do, but I can assure you, I can almost guarantee you, you can make a case that the top 10 of this year's draft would not even make the top 20 of next year's draft. That is how loaded that draft is. And, you know, there's some names you may not be familiar with. I'm going to give you a couple of names that you can familiarize yourself with. Jabari Parker, playing in Duke. Wiggins from Kansas, who I know Randy's going to love this. Andrew Wiggins is considered the next LeBron James. So I'm sure Randy's going to love it, but he is the good.
Can't wait to hit him.
Yeah, and you probably will, because he's really that good. Julius Randle from Kentucky. Aaron Gordon from Arizona. Andrew Harrison and his brother, both from Kentucky, by the way. By the way, the main thing is Kentucky is loaded this year. So is Kansas. Marcus Smart from Oklahoma City, point guard. He should have probably went out this year. Wayne Sheldon from Kansas. Listen, guys, I can keep going on and on, but the point is that next year's draft is going to be loaded. I am telling you, those picks are going to be worth something. Even if Brooklyn was good and had like the 20th, they were in the 20th to 25th pick range, you're still going to get a stud player at that range. If any of these guys were in this year's draft class, they'd probably be the number one pick. So, those picks are a big deal.
Here's a great, some great tweets by some people who cover the teams. Brian Mahoney covers the NBA for Slam and from other different sources as well. Bummer of the Celtics next trade is largely crossing off Boston as a place to go for games for a while. Few places better during big three runs, which is true. Howard Beck, who covers the Nets for the New York Times. With Pierce and Garnett, Nets get big upgrade in scoring and snarling via... Rob Boone, a good friend of our show, will be joining us during the NBA season next year, is committed to coming on with us. He pretty much said, Mikhail Prokhorov let off with a statement saying he's not afraid to gamble in the future on winning now. So,
did you see Chris Rock's tweet?
I did not.
I'm going to paraphrase it, but basically Chris Rock tweeted all those moves just to be in fourth place. I'm paraphrasing it, but that was just essentially the gist of what Chris Rock was trying to say. It's quite funny, actually. I saw it last night. It was great.
There's two other notes as far as the Nets are concerned. The Nets are looking at possibly bringing in Jason Collins, even though I see a tweet here. Chris Broussard, very doubtful the Nets signed Jason Collins. I don't know what you would really need with a 35-year-old backup center. And there's other players in the league who can do the same things, if not more than he can.
I'm going to ask, which brother is this one?
This is the one that just came out.
Yeah, That's not a good idea, probably.
I know. I'm just saying.
You probably don't want that on top of everything else you just did.
I agree with you. The other news is the Nets are going to make a raft of Kyle Korver, which probably wouldn't be a bad pick, a bad pickup for outside shooting. You know how I feel about this and the shooting position in the NBA.
Where are the Nets getting all this money?
You look at the luxury tax, it's going to be over $100 million.
But
available.
I guess he's going to pay it. You know, I hope Prokhorov, we don't find out that Prokhorov is
a smuggler.
Yeah. You know, it's funny because, as you know, I hate almost all sport media people. Randy knows this. And, yeah, I know.
He hates me.
That I'm doing this damn show.
I never did anything wrong. He hates me.
But again, though, I'm
necessarily labeled.
I have to say, I was listening to Joe and Evan this afternoon.
And for those people who live outside the New York area, please explain who Joe and Evan are.
They're WFAN.
Okay, WFAN here in the city, 101.9.
No one cares if you're not from New York.
I'm just... Well, seriously, if you're gone the next 2 weeks, really?
Anyway, but my point
what am I going to do without you?
It would be more professionally run. Anyway, so Evan Roberts was
talking about
the best owners of the teams that he has, and he's actually making his case that he thinks Mikhail Prokhorov is the best owner of all the teams that he watches. Now, he's a Jets fan, he's a Mets fan, he's an Islander fan.
So basically what he's saying, Nets games are the only team he's not going to be drinking heavily through over the next couple of years.
I don't even know how you can say Prokhorov is the best owner. Yeah, what has this team accomplished since he's been here?
This is what he's trying to say. The team hasn't accomplished anything, but you're commenting on how he's dedicated to winning.
How are you dedicated to winning when there's
He's willing to spend the money.
But there's a salary cap. You can only spend so much money. I mean, I find fault with that logic. There's only so much money you can spend in basketball.
Yeah, but it's not like
baseball where George Steinbrenner is going to spend over $200 million.
Right, but you're missing something that's very, very important.
I understand about the luxury tax and all that crap.
I know you understand the luxury cap. There might be Joe Schmo who's sitting out here, doesn't know anything about the luxury cap.
I think most of the people that listen to us understand the salary cap. I think that's the problem. I think most of these people think that the people that listen to their shows are idiots, and they're really not.
No, they're not.
It's just that they're very compassionate when they start yelling.
I'm going to bring up two very important points, and by the way, you are absolutely wrong.
I'm going to hit you now.
What else is it? You hit me every single week. I come home and my wonderful lady goes, where did these bruises come from? I said, it's just a radio show. She said, you sure it wasn't a boxing match? I said, no, because if it was a boxing match, I'd be at the hospital.
Good call on that one.
So, with that being said, I'm going to pose two questions to you, and let's forget about the fact that you're a media member. I want you to put your fan hat back on. Jose is taking off his bandana.
Yes, I am.
And he's putting his Knicks hat on. He's a Knicks fan right now, ladies and gentlemen. One, if the shoe was on the other foot and the Knicks made a deal for Paul Pierce and Kevin Garnett and Jason Terry, would you be feeling the same way you do right now about the book?
I would be furious.
Really?
I would be furious.
Really?
Because we did this crap last year and it didn't freaking work. So why would we do it again with older players? It's okay because they're better. They're not better. They're old.
Okay. Jason Kidd, Marcus Camby, Kurt Thomas, also known as, was it the Three Blind Mice?
Jason Kidd. You know, listen, you know, I'm not a fan of the Jason Kidd signing. I say that from the get-go. I could deal with the Kurt Thomas signing because I knew what that was going to be about, and I could deal with the Camby signing because I knew what that was going to be about. I've never been a big fan of Jason Kidd. I respect what he's done, but I've never been a big fan of his. My point is, though, they decided to go all in on that, and it didn't work. And you know what? I accept it. But they made strides, and they have pieces in place. They got to tweak a lot. There's no doubt about that. But they made strides this year. They went from being a mediocre team to a solid team. But if you told me the Knicks made that deal, I would be furious.
Okay, now I'm going to throw something else at you now. If you're a Knicks fan, like you are you okay with Jim Dolan spending money like Prokhorov is?
Again, though, there is a salary cap. So Jim Dolan could care less about the luxury tax. I'm sure he would pay it. If you told Jim Dolan that, yeah, listen, there's a salary cap, but we'll let you go over as long as you pay the tax, believe me, there would be a lot of people in New York, you know, playing that would otherwise not necessarily pay for this team because of the salary cap restriction. But there's a salary cap issue. So I think it's apples and oranges, you know. I don't think Jim Dolan cares. It's just that I think he's trying to do right by the system. Provorov doesn't care and just trying to spend money willy-nilly, and he's spending his money on the wrong pieces, is my point. I don't mind, I like the idea of what he's doing, but I think he picked the wrong plan, basically. He's going with the wrong structure.
I understand what you're saying, and listen, you know me. I've been a huge fan of what the Oklahoma City Thunder have done. They're doing it the way they have, you know, building from the draft. Building.
Listen, dude, there's a lot of luck involved with that. All right, there's a lot of luck with that. There's not an exact science. Because, listen, Greg Oden coming out of that draft was the best player. But Greg Oden got hurt. It's as simple as that. I saw Durant play in college. He was great. But he wasn't this great.
Well, remember, with every good center, there's got to be a guy who can get him the ball. Because the center's not handling the ball.
Yeah. But the point is that there's a string of luck that comes into, though, how you build. You know, I don't want to give him too much credit. They got lucky. They got lucky.
Let's move over to the actual NBA draft, and then we'll go back to some of the deals that were made.
Yeah.
We're going to do this a little different, and we're going to do something called good job, bad job. Good job, bad job, brought to you by Uppy Custom Creations. They bring fame to your name. Call Mike at 561-683-0044. That's 561-683-0044. Make your business known. Make your brand your name. Call Uppy Custom Creations. Ask for Mike at 561-683-0044. Okay. Let's do it this way. You name a team. I'll tell you the need that they have, and you let me know if they filled it last night. Good job, bad job.
All right.
Does that sound good?
Well, let's start with Cleveland.
They really needed some inside depth. And they really should be filling any spot that's not the small forward spot. Because you know what they're trying to build towards.
Well, I would say they did a decent job. First of all, they had the number one pick last night, and they picked Anthony Bennett, which was a little bit of a shock to everyone because
yeah.
No one had Anthony Bennett being even in the top three, let alone the number one player. I would say they did a decent job. They have four picks. You know, after Anthony Bennett, they went with, if I can find it here, unfortunately, I lost a little bit of my notice. They went with Carrick Felix from Arizona State, who's a shooting guard. And, again, sorry, folks, I'm a little bit delayed here. But, well, unfortunately, I can't find the whole list, unfortunately.
Yeah, Carrick Felix, like you said, from Arizona State. Mm-hmm. And I'm looking through a list right here, and I don't think they had anything else going on in the second round.
I thought they had a couple of picks back-to-back.
Listen, the Cleveland Cavaliers' biggest problem over the last couple of years is they, besides the fact that they lost LeBron James, even when LeBron James was there, you had nobody who wanted to play there. And that team was the closest they got to an NBA Finals was 2007 with LeBron James on their back. Now, my question to you is, they are now building for the free agent class of this next summer. Not this year, next year. Next year, he can opt out, Bosh can opt out, Wade can opt out. Carmelo Anthony can opt out. I will get the rest of the list of the eight of the players that can. My question to you, does Cleveland stand a chance of re-signing LeBron James, bringing back LeBron James?
I've been telling you for a while that it's going to be between them and New York and Miami.
You had to put New York in there, didn't you?
Because I think there's a part of him that wants to do it. I really feel that. I really feel that. There's a part of him that knows that he was destined to be there at some point. So,
I think this was 2010. I think LeBron James would find every reason in the book not to go to the New York Knicks. I think it has changed now. I think because of the LeBron James that we've seen win two NBA championships and play as well as he has, I think he welcomes challenges. And I think the challenge in Miami is no longer a challenge.
I want to tell you, though, after hearing some stories over the week when discussing Pat Riley, I would tell you that if Pat Riley was still on the Knicks when this all went down, that LeBron James would be a Knick right now. And I'm not saying that, which was news to me, but apparently that was the strong indication. So, let's not turn this into a whole "Where's LeBron going" debate. But all right, so I don't have a great looking list of how, you know, but we'll keep it to the basics. We'll keep it within the top 20 just so we don't go crazy here. There was also a lot of trades, too. That was the other reason I couldn't find it. Cleveland also drafted Alan Crabb, who's a good player, but he's a shooting guard. So two shooting guards and a power forward, undersized power forward. All right, let's look at Orlando. Coming to the draft, what was your thought process on that, Randy?
On which one? I apologize.
The Orlando Magic.
Okay, listen, the Orlando Magic really got spurned by Dwight Howard. And at the end of the day, they needed everything. Their front court was very, very small. You pick Baby Davis as the centerpiece of your front court, we have problems. I like some of the players that Orlando has. I think J.J. Redick wasn't going to stay there no matter what happened. Not that J.J. Redick was the most sought-out piece during the NBA trade deadline. But at the same time, I think Orlando needed to put some size out there, and they just need guys who can play. And they're right now... the Vasquez kid played very well for them last year. I really enjoyed watching him play. Jameer Nelson, you know what you're really going to get out of him. I think their biggest needs were the center and the two guard.
Well, that's what they went. They went with the two guard. But they did not go with the two guard that everyone expected.
They did not.
They went with Victor Oladipo, who from Indiana.
I heard his workout was very good for them, though.
He's one of those guys who I think is a jack-of-all-trades kind of guy, I guess compared to D. Wade. So to speak, I don't know if he's as good as D. Wade, but to me, I think Orlando missed the boat on this pick. The guy, there's two key guys in this draft. One was Otto Porter, who went right after to the Washington Wizards, which that was a great pick by them. And the other guy was Ben McLemore. Ben McLemore, to me, is the highest ceiling guy in this draft. And Sacramento basically stole them at 7.
Yeah, they did.
That was just kudos to them, because they've been the butt of jokes for a while, so kudos to them. Victor Oladipo, nice pick. It seemed like everyone wanted to get this guy. There was a lot of teams trying to trade up to get him. And he ended up going to Orlando. He's going to be a good player. I don't think in that environment, though, he's going to really be a truly great player. I think he's going to be a decent player. You know, a guy's going to give you 13 and 6, you know, but will never really be a all-in-all, like, great player,
well,
in my opinion. Especially, and considering if you got him in the sixth pick of the draft, you know, you're not gonna get the bang for your buck, as far as I'm concerned.
From what I understand, too, this is coming from Josh Robbins of the Orlando Sentinel. The Orlando Magic right now are currently in negotiations with the Los Angeles Clippers for a deal for Eric Bledsoe.
Yes.
The principles of that deal from Orlando's side is not fully been discussed. It's not been made to the public. And this news comes from Josh Robbins from the Orlando Sentinel through Twitter. The general consensus from Josh Robbins and a lot of the Orlando media, it's not a given that the Magic are still going to keep Victor at this point. They still might deal the rights. Remember, he hasn't signed yet. They could deal the rights and see if they can do something else, maybe for Eric Bledsoe. We'll see. I think if you're able to... Here's something that we didn't really think about. What happens if Chris Paul doesn't sign back with the Clippers?
I don't think that's an option now. I think when you're the Clippers and you did everything you did to get Glenn, you know, Doc Rivers, I think you got to know that he's coming back.
If he's not... And you're able to move Eric Bledsoe to get Jameer Nelson, not the worst pickup in the world. It's obviously not Chris Paul.
If you could see my face, folks, you would know how Chris Paul and Jameer Nelson being in the same sentence is utterly shocking.
No, I know. I'm saying I know Jameer Nelson on a lot of teams these days would probably be a backup.
I don't even think it's even close to being fair. I don't even think it's a decent pickup. I don't even think it's a decent replacement.
You'd rather keep Eric Bledsoe as your point guard.
I would rather keep Eric Bledsoe.
Well, you also have Jamal Crawford still, too.
I would say Radke Barry Russell.
Okay. That's years and years of a Knicks fan watching Jamal Crawford right there.
I like Jamal Crawford.
Jamal Crawford has the man open on the wing, and he's got two guys on him, and he's
I like Jamal, but listen, there's no way the Clippers did what they did.
Without the reinsurance.
I'm
just making a point of bringing that up.
I know. I understand what you're saying there. I totally get it. By the way, the Mets just blew this game. But anyway, let's not go there.
with all that being said, though, you know, with that being said, I really do think that the Orlando Magic, it's not, you know, we're going to have Pat Williams. I didn't tell you this. Pat Williams is one of the co-owners of the Orlando Magic is going to join us, not next week, but the week after. I think you're not going to be here. Jose has his two-week paid vacation.
I might be there. It depends. It depends what day it is.
And we're going to discuss this pick with him. Listen, Orlando's been a team that's been shafted by a lot of guys. You know, the legend rumor, you know, there's all these different NBA legend stories, like the Jordan gambling rumor and all these other different things. In 92 and 93, they were the first team ever to win the lottery two straight years. And the first year they took Shaquille O'Neal, the second time they took Chris Webber and traded down for Anthony Hardaway. Their rumor was that Webber didn't want to play in Orlando. But my question now, this team, because this team has been burned by Shaq, Webber, Dwight Howard, how long until you think this team can recover?
I think it's going to really just depend on where they want to start, you know, how they try to make this
How you rebuild this franchise, yeah.
Let me share a funny story with you. And we're getting away from the draft, but at this point, I think it's this show is going
Well,
insane.
We'll go through winners and losers still.
So. I was reading a story the other day that told me back when Don Nelson was coaching the New York Knicks. So this is a long time ago. That Orlando came up to them and actually said to the Knicks, to Don Nelson, not the Knicks front office, but to Don Nelson, would you be willing to do a Shaquille O'Neal for Patrick Ewing trade? And Don Nelson was all about doing that trade. The Knicks front office wouldn't do that trade. I don't want to even get to the Knicks point of that. But that kind of pretty much tells you how the Orlando front office has been run since its very existence. When you would be willing to do a trade like that, I know Patrick Ewing was a great player.
Great Nick.
But
great Nick.
The fact that you would offer up one of the greatest centers of all time for a Patrick Ewing in his prime just speaks volumes of where that front office is. And where it's, I guess where it's
we can ask Pat Williams about that.
I wanted to see what the validity of that story is. But I've been told that's a true story.
We're definitely going to bring that up to him in 2 weeks. Okay, real quick, some more winners and losers and some more news coming out of the draft. I think the first thing I said to you when I spoke to you about the draft, it's not even about the Nets-Celtics trade, was the fact that the Philadelphia 76ers gave up on Jrue Holiday. And I was stunned by this move. Just 2 weeks ago when I was at the draft combine in at the Nets practice facility, I was talking with Rod Thorne, who was the president of the 76ers basketball operations. And the one thing he said to me was that Holiday is the centerpiece of their team, and they're still a young squad, and there's good players. Of course. And, well, it's not even the fact that he lied to me. It's the simple fact that you're trying to get behind. He was an all-star this year. You think maybe when Doug Collins lost Jrue Holiday's confidence, that's where he lost the rest of the team?
It's possible. Well, again, though, I mean, I didn't think Philadelphia was going to be that good this year. I mean, you know, I guess I should say I'm not surprised that they ended up where they ended up. I think they put all their eggs in the Andrew Bynum basket, and that blew up.
And the basket had a hole in the bottom
of
it.
The biggest thing about Andrew Bynum last season was his hair.
Yeah.
So...
Yeah, I mean, you know what, though? At the end of the day, he got paid and he's got rings. So that's...
Not with Philly.
Not with Philly. the other big move was the trade partner for Philadelphia was New Orleans Pelicans. Now, if you're a New Orleans fan, you got to hate hate your name change, man. That's the worst name change in the history.
There's so many better things you could come up with for New Orleans than Pelicans. I mean, if you say it real fast, you might say a P word that you don't want to say. I mean, you know, the New Orleans Codfish, you know, Gators. You know,
I like the New Orleans Gators.
The Glades. The New Orleans Glades. You know, Swamp Waters, you know. Remember when the Nets were thinking about changing the name of Swamp Dragon? Swamp Gators.
The Swamp Gators is better than that. Yeah. Here's some of the response to that news. Chris Palmer from ESPN, Drew Holiday to the Pelicans. Trade your 23-year-old all-star point guard with a question mark. I'll tell you something. The Pelicans, well, we all know what this was, too. This was a David Stern favorite of Michael Jordan. Hey, listen, your team is in the tank in Charlotte, which, by the way, we have news about the Bobcats in about a second, which you're going to laugh. But this was a name change to help the Charlotte brand by giving them back the Hornets name and the colors. So now you're going to have the Charlotte Hornets back in Charlotte.
So let me ask you a question now. Does the team history go back to them then?
No, it does not.
It does not. So what's the – then why – how can they get away
because
with it?
Because they said down in Charlotte and at these games, there's still more people wearing Hornets gear than there are wearing Bobcats gear. Now, there's three reasons for that. One, I think every player that they've ever had on the Hornets franchise can destroy any player they have in a Bobcat uniform right now. But that's not here nor there. Remember, if you remember, the Hornets built – I think that the thing that put the Charlotte Hornets on the map was that playoff victory against the Boston Celtics when Alonzo Mourning hit that foul line jump shot back in 93. I think you and I both can agree on that.
Wasn't that the unfortunate Reggie Lewis series?
Yes, that was the Reggie Lewis series where Reggie passed away not too far after that. With that being said, though, that team, that town never recovered from the Hornets leaving. Like, the team, the Bobcats have had sellouts, but it was nothing ever like, you know, right now the sellouts, if you went to a Bobcat Heat game, it's 85% Miami and 15%. Charlotte, or maybe 14% Charlotte and 1% are just lost in the Conduited Arena.
So now, I wasn't even aware, though, that Charlotte was going to get the name back.
After next season, they got the name back.
See, but I don't understand. But they don't get the history back?
They don't get the history back.
This seems kind of silly, then. I mean, so they're not going to have the same design, then. It's going to be a different design.
That's like sitting there saying, okay, well, the NBA got New Orleans a team, so they want to have the New Orleans Jazz. So if they would have gotten the New Orleans Jazz name back and Utah would have taken a different name, would Utah still keep the history? Yes, because Utah keeps the history because of it's the franchise. The franchise moves. Oklahoma City Thunder still have all the Seattle Supersonic history.
Yeah, but everything that's even in Seattle, yes, I can understand that.
Right, but I'm saying even if they go back and they, you know, the Sacramento Kings almost went back to Seattle and they would have taken the Sonics name, they still would have been able to become, they wouldn't have all the history. Sean Kemp and everything, Gary Payton and all those guys are not part of the Seattle Supersonics. That part of it, their history belongs with the Oklahoma City Thunder. And I know it doesn't make much sense.
It just bothers me. It just bothers me a little bit.
Well, everything bothers
you. Yeah, it does. By the way, just going off on a bender here, the Mets wasted a Matt Harvey start today. But all right.
By the way, and if you're listening to this show and you hate me that much, and that's okay if you do when I say this, Met fans. You don't have to go on Facebook every time Matt Harvey is basically saying, Happy Harvey Day.
That I don't do.
Okay.
But
I'm glad you don't do it, but I hate that.
Well, screw you, hippie. Just because you don't like it.
Not for nothing, you said worse to me.
But no, I mean, I find it kind of deflating as well, but, you know, you can't. I mean, they got one win to go, but I'm just saying. The Met bullpen has struck again. Back to basketball.
Please, thank you.
Anyway, let's just say this, because I would say this. As far as this whole draft goes, all in all, this was not a great draft.
No, definitely not.
Let's just, real quick synopsis from you. Do you like the Nets pick of Mason Plumlee?
Okay, it was not great. It's not feeling like, listen, when you make a big trade like they just made, and you're revamping your franchise, you really have to look and say, okay, you have your core five which even though they're older than dirt, you have your core five. Now you have to pick up the pieces. Look, this team just lost C.J. Watson. They're losing Keith Bogans, who's a nice backup. Chris Humphreys, who's just going to get off the bench, and you're paying him $12 million a year.
Yep.
You're losing, and you're losing Marshawn Brooks, who probably, if he would have played this year for the Nets, would have been a good sixth man. So now you have to start filling in the pieces. Their biggest needs, well, they have Reggie Evans, who's going to play backup center now for Lopez. You basically need to get another power forward, and you basically need to get backups for every major position on that team.
All right, and I'll say this as a Knicks fan. Basically, if you're a Knicks fan, as long as you don't get another foreign guy on the team, you already come up on top. That's just the way most Knicks fans feel.
Yeah.
Jason Hardaway Jr., I hated his dad. I'm glad now that his dad will be able to go to Madison Square Garden and enjoy himself there. Basically, I don't feel anything. Like, I've basically always been told, if you don't feel strongly one way or the other about a pick, it usually means that the pick is good. So, I know Knicks fans are going crazy, so I guess I think because they like the name. But it's a solid player. You know, it's going to help out.
Tim Hardaway Jr., yeah. I think it's going to be... I think it's ironic.
I think it's very ironic.
Exactly.
By the way, I think Glenn Rice's son was drafted by Philadelphia. I do not know if they kept his rights, but I believe...
No, they did. The Philadelphia 76ers picked, and it was the 35th pick in the second round, Glenn Rice Jr. This was originally New Orleans pick that was traded to Washington.
Okay, yeah.
So
he was in the developmental league last year, actually. So he's one of these guys that actually got drafted from the D League, coming out of Georgia Tech. So, and he played very well last year. His team won the D League title. Nate Walters was a kid that I know the Knicks were looking at. He's one of these like small school players. He's really good. Basically, a better shooting Steve Nash is what I've been told.
Quick note about the pick that the Bobcats had, the fourth pick, Cody Zeller. They had a draft viewing party down in Charlotte, and the crowd walked out in disgust when Cody Zeller's name was picked.
You know what? Cody Zeller came out of Indiana. The Big Ten schools have gotten a lot of good rep lately, so it's not like a waste. I think with the fourth pick, you probably could have gotten a better player. At that point, you might as well have just gone after Nolan Noel from Kentucky at that point, or even Ben McLemore. You know, again, Michael Jordan is showing that he might have been one of the greatest players of all time. But
the
worst
executive ever in the history.
Philadelphia, by the way, came away with their point guard, picking Michael Carter Williams from Syracuse and then trading for Noel.
So, that's a decision that was very...
They're going to be bad for a while, I think.
The power of the Atlantic Division, and listen, you knew how I felt about the moves the Nets made last offseason, and how I felt about the Knicks moves, and how I felt about the Celtics and the Sixers. I had the Sixers high in the playoff picture for last year, if you remember. I said the top eight. And listen, I think you'll agree with me. I slipped about my picks. I said to you, 7 out of my 8 picks made the playoffs. They were just the order was all messed up. But, I chose Boston 1, Miami 2, Indy 3. Philly.
By the way, bad job on you. By the way, I tried to talk you out of that for so long.
I know you did, but I said it, so I had to stick with it. Just like I stuck with Miami in 7. Philly, I put Philly 4, Brooklyn 5. I put Chicago 6, New York 7, and I put Atlanta 8. Philly made it.
Even though we killed Atlanta,
they had a great season.
And we killed them before the season even started.
We killed them. We said they got the 8th seed because
I don't even know how. Because
we
killed them so bad.
Yeah, we like you said, you lost Marvin Williams and Joe Johnson, which was the heart of their team. And you're sitting there saying, yeah, I think they're just getting the 8th seed out of principle because they needed an 8th seed because everybody else was that bad. But Philly ended up falling off the wagon, and then they were done. And Atlanta found a nice combo with that Jeff Teague, Devin Harris backcourt.
Yeah.
Harris likes to shoot the ball anyway, so it makes more sense. And the other part of it now is Jeff Teague is a free agent this year. So if you're a team like the Utah Jazz who needs a point guard, you can add yourself a nice little team in Utah with the three pigs of Derek Favors, Paul Millsap,
Trey Burke, who they got
Al Jefferson. Yeah, you know, they can really make some noise, but we'll see.
Right. I just want to just add a couple of things. We have a half hour to go, so I don't know. I think we're gonna probably maybe BS the rest of the night on just random sports talk.
We still have some work to do, but that's okay.
Well, I'm gonna add just a couple of things that my thoughts in the draft, some hints and misses. For you draft guys out there, you know, people look out for like diamonds in the rough. And I'm going to give you the phrase that you're going to probably hear for the next 5 to 7 drafts at least. But let me just talk about this guy first before I get to that. Jamal Franklin from San Diego State surprisingly dropped all the way to the 41st pick. This was a first-round talent. Now, I don't know if anything happened in workouts. You know, I'm not aware of it. But this was a guy that was slated for a top 20 pick and went into the second round. Memphis picked him up. That's a good pick. He's going to be a really good player. But the phrase you're going to hear for the next 5 to 7 drafts is the next Lance Stevenson. I guarantee you will hear this phrase of it at least once every draft. This year's the next Lance Stevenson is a kid that Milwaukee drafted and then traded to Dallas. Ricky Lado from Providence University. If you don't know the story, this is basically it. He goes to Providence, is ineligible to play. He didn't play last year. He practiced. That's all he did. So he got drafted based on potential. Now, there was talk that he might have been drafted by the Knicks in this year's draft. There was a lot of talk about that. And once again, the Knicks did not go that route. So let's see what happens. But this is the guy that was picked as the next Lance Stevenson. Another couple picks I just want to bring up. San Antonio picking up Deshaun Thomas from Ohio State. Another guy that's basically a one-trick pony, but he'll probably work over there because everything that San Antonio touches turns to gold. So basically, he's just a rebounding, better shooting. I shouldn't even say rebounding. He's just basically a Danny Green with probably better handle, a little bit bigger. Also, the other person I just want to call, you know, just bring a little point of reference to, if I can find them. I believe he was drafted not that far after Jamal Franklin, is Mike Muska from Bucknell University, drafted by Dallas but then traded to Atlanta. Biggest guy in the, I believe they're in the Horizon, 6'11 center. He's always been the big boy amongst, a big man amongst boys. But this is going to be the first time he's actually tested amongst superior competition. So I'm interested to see where, you know, how he plays, because this was another guy that was somewhat linked to the Knicks, and he went all the way down to 44. So keep an eye on these guys. Again, not a really strong draft. I'm not really. I'm kind of glad the Knicks actually ended up with a guy that I actually like. Let's see what happens. But there will be a lot of questions going on for years to come about this draft. You know, as much as we talk about how great the 2003 draft was, we may talk about how bland the 2013 draft was.
I think the two best drafts that I can remember in my time were the 2003 NBA draft and the 1996 draft. And if you don't know who's in the 96 draft, I'll tell you right now. The 1996 draft, the number one pick of that draft was a little no-name player by the name of Allen Iverson. And I was being a little sarcastic there when I just said that.
There was a Colton Iverson drafted this year, if that makes you feel any better.
Who?
Colton Iverson.
Oh well, it's not really the same thing now, is it?
No, but
why did you go there?
Because sometimes they got to do that.
Okay, well, I'm going to give you some highlights here of the '96 NBA draft. Iverson 1, Camby 2, Sharif Abdul-Rahim number 3,
solid player.
Stephon Marbury number 4, Ray Allen number 5, Antoine Walker number 6, Lorenzen Wright number 7.
Bad pick.
Kerry Kittles, number 8.
Good pick.
Samaki Walker, number 9.
Yeah, bad pick.
Eric Dampier, who's still in the league.
Okay.
Number 10. Todd Fuller, number 11.
Such a bad pick.
It's going to get better in about a second. Vitaly Potapenko.
Yeah, he was okay, though. Not great. He was all right.
Some guy by the name of Kobe Bryant went 13 that year.
I still can't believe Kobe Bryant was able to talk his way out of Charlotte. If he got traded for D-Rock, I mean...
He wants to have a highway rivalry. A robbery right there. Number 14 was...
And that should actually work out for both teams, though, if you think about it.
Yeah, well, because, you know, the Hornets lost Alonzo Mourning.
Yeah. Anyway, read down the rest of this list, though. We can reminisce about
that. I'll just give you quick highlights. Stojakovic was 14, Nash was 15, Tony Delk was 16, Jermaine O'Neal 17, Ilgauskas went 20. I'm just seeing if there's any. Derek Fisher was number 24 in this draft. Othella Harrington, you remember that name?
Oh, yeah. By the way, this is also the very infamous Knicks draft where they got three players from that NCAA year's Final Four, and now one of them panned out.
Dante Jones, Walter McCarty, and John Wallace. And John Wallace was supposed to be the second coming.
I might say something about John Wallace, too. And this is basically a guy who was a top three player, but was a head case. I mean, simple as that, and just had a bad rep coming out of college. But I will tell you right now, I would, you know, dollars for donuts. He was definitely better than everyone else talent-wise in this draft, with the possible exception of Allen Iverson. Other than that, talent-wise, he was better than all these other guys.
And Walter McCartney had a great...
Yeah, decent career.
He had a very good career. Yeah, you're looking up and down this draft board. Man, and I'm also looking at the three Knicks players, the three Knicks pickups. John Wallace was a disaster. Look at him. You know, it was because of his talents that got him to where he was. And if you look at, Dante Jones, drafted by the Celtics, never really made it back to the NBA.
No. He had a broken foot, and that just never worked out. I wasn't a big fan of Walter McCarty. I actually liked the other two picks. I wasn't a big fan of McCarty. And I think if you were asking me right now, if I could have picked anyone else in that draft, probably Roy Rogers there was the guy I would have probably taken a look at. Othella Harrington maybe. But, yeah, this is not a watershed draft for the Knicks, to say the least.
The 96 draft and the 2003 draft, I'm going to pull up the 2003 draft a little later on tonight, and we'll go over a little bit more. That was LeBron James, Dwayne Wade.
Carmelo Anthony,
the only ones in, I think, the top five picks in that draft, I think might be the only one who doesn't have a championship ring.
He has an NCAA title.
It doesn't matter. It's not an NBA championship ring.
Stop being a douche.
I'm not being a douche. I'm being honest with you. Jesus Christ. I'm telling it like it is. Like, listen, Darko Milicic has a ring.
Listen.
Enjoy it, my friend.
Let me just say it. Carmelo Anthony won the Harder title. All right, he only had 1 year to win that one, and he got it.
that's all you're saying at this point, right?
That's all I can say. That's all I have.
You
have
really have nothing else at that point, do you?
I'd probably take him over LeBron.
You're a disgrace. Yes. Have I ever told you that?
By the way, though, Darko Milicic, man, I would love to hear from Joe Dumars exactly what the hell he was thinking.
Well, listen to this. LeBron James goes number one. We know this story. LeBron James 1, Darko Milicic 2, Carmelo Anthony 3, Bosh 4, Wade 5, Chris Kaman 6, Kirk Heiner 7, TJ 48, a great New York Knicks pick of Michael Sweetney.
I'm going to be honest. I like that pick. But Michael Sweetney might have been the last Georgetown player that actually busted. Because most of the Georgetown players that came out in the draft in most recent years have been solid players. This was the one guy that was a bust. And it's just because he was an undersized power forward.
He
was great in college, but just not good in the pros.
You have some decent players here. Jarvis Hayes, who just was ravaged with injuries throughout his career. You have
David West was picked in this draft.
David West was in this draft. Mikal Petras, who played very well for the Celtics last year, couldn't find. I think he played with the Bobcats this year. Marcus Banks, who was a journeyman through the NBA. Luke Ridenour, who played very well for the Sonics and played very well for the Minnesota Timberwolves. He's still in the league. Reece James is not in the league anymore. Troy Bell, Zarco, I can't pronounce this guy's name. Sasha Kalf.
Wow.
It's sad.
Let me just say something, because we probably all know this draft. I read a story recently where they redrafted this draft. And I won't give you the whole thing, obviously, but I want to point out to you some things. Obviously, LeBron James is still the number one pick of this draft. Here's the interesting thing, though. So then they went from Detroit on. So Detroit correctly picks Carmelo Anthony at number two. Dwayne Wade goes to Denver. David West goes to Toronto. And Chris Bosh goes to Miami. In the redraft. I'm not going to do the whole thing, but I'm just doing those.
Say it one more time. LeBron goes number one. Anthony goes two to Detroit.
Wade goes three to Denver.
Okay.
David West goes four to Toronto.
And then Bosh ends up in Miami.
Bosh ends up in Miami at five.
Can I ask you a very relevant question?
Sure.
Where did Kirk Heinrich fall in that mess?
I think Kirk Heinrich actually went a little further down. I don't remember where he went exactly, but I want to say he was still in the top 15. And I have to honestly tell you, too, I don't even remember who the Knicks drafted in this redraft, to be honest with you. But it's not anyone of any circumstance, I can tell you that much right now.
I think we've really, really, really gotten off topic.
Well, that's what we do in this.
Yeah, I know. It's like we and I think that goes to, you know, that goes against everything that we always plan. We're like, well, we're going to go do this, and we end up rushing that in anyway.
Before I forget, though, one more thing. Because you have this hatred of Canada that you refuse to let go of.
I have a hatred for Canada. This is all news to me.
Yeah, you said this last week.
Anyway, did I say this?
We wanna congratulate the Chicago Blackhawks for winning the Stanley Cup Finals and what was a
not
great...
Not liking hockey and hating Canada, my friend, are two totally different things.
Let me finish.
Okay.
Anyway, we want to congratulate the Chicago Blackhawks. We didn't really give it the time it deserved because Randy was all being... NBA guy, so we couldn't really give it the just time that it deserved. So I just want to really quickly hit on it. Great game. I don't know if you got to see it, Randy, but
I did get to watch a little bit. What a fantastic game.
Blackhawks basically won a game that they had no right winning. Ironically, beating Boston essentially the same way, Boston was able to move on in the first round by scoring improbable goals with literally almost no time.
Can I ask you, who's had a tougher time than Boston fans this year?
Probably us.
What are you talking about? You're saying a Knicks fan, Mets fan, or
no? I'm saying about me and you.
Listen, I'm fine. There's some things I've accepted about, you know, my sports fandom over the last couple days, or actually this year. You know, the Giants not making the playoffs. If that was my hardest sports moment of the year this year, then I'm okay with it.
Well. Yeah, Boston's had a rough year, but I'm not going to lie. I'd be lying to you if I told you that I felt bad. I'm not going to sugarcoat it.
Anyway, real quick, listen, I want to give a quick scoreboard update to everybody. Right now, bottom of the eighth right now, Texas has a 4-0 lead over Cincinnati. Houston and the Angels tied at one, top of the eighth. Out in Minnesota, 9-3, Kansas City the lead. For some reason, I always look at the Kansas City Royals as a bad team. And if there's anyone from Kansas City listening, I apologize. But I keep doubting your team, and they're actually not a bad team, and they're fighting, and they're kicking and clawing every single game. Colorado has a 4-0 lead in the middle of the seventh over San Francisco. Oakland has a 2-0 lead over St. Louis in the bottom of the second. Chicago has a 2-0 lead over Seattle. In Seattle, at the top of the second, whereas Philly has a 4-0 lead over the Dodgers in Los Angeles in the top of the second. Bottom of the first, Cleveland 4-0 over the Chicago White Sox. That game had to have rain delays if they're bottom of the first right now.
Which game?
Chicago and Cleveland. The White Sox.
That was like a 19-10 game.
Well, no, there's a second game.
Oh. Well, the first game was 19-10.
Yeah, the following scores are all final. 19-10 Apparently, we're at the end or midway through the first quarter of that Cleveland.
Yes.
Cleveland Chicago White Sox game.
Yes, we are.
Mets and Red Sox fans rejoice. The Yankees lose to Baltimore 4-3. Pittsburgh over Milwaukee 10-3. Boston over Toronto 7-5. The Red Sox are picked to be in the bottom of that division, and they're shocking everybody. 6-4 Washington over the Mets, as Jose was talking about before. 9-2 San Diego over Miami. Detroit over Tampa Bay 6-3. And Atlanta blanks Arizona 3-0 on a night where Chipper Jones gets his jersey retired. Real quick, other NBA little note that's of importance. Ray Allen exercised a $3.2 million player option. He will be back with the Miami Heat next year. And I think that's it really for the news. I don't think there's really other a lot of – there's not a lot of NFL going on right now. It's that lull period from mini camps to training camp now. Baseball is just – I think you know me well enough to know I follow baseball, but not really until the All-Star break.
You suck.
That's not that I suck. You have 164 games. It's very difficult. Like,
well,
it's May and June, and the NBA Finals are on. Am I going to be watching a Tuesday night game of Kansas City and the Yankees, or am I going to be watching the Heat and the Pacers?
No, I'm Kansas City and the Yankees.
I hate you. Get out of my house.
By the way, let's give some credit to Matt Scherzer for his pitcher the last 27 years to start off 12-0 in the majors. Quite an accomplishment. This is a guy the Mets could have had from Jose Reyes a couple of years ago. Just putting that out there.
I'm going to do a little bit of true, or a little, I don't want to say true and false. We'll do true and false, but give me an explanation on why.
Okay.
True and false. True or false, Dwight Howard will remain a member of the Los Angeles Lakers.
I'm going to say true. And my reason is because I've never seen any basketball all-star leave the $30 million extra on the table. And until that happens, I will not believe that anyone will do it.
True or false? Good decision by the Brooklyn Nets to hire Lawrence Frank as an assistant coach.
I'm going to say false. Why would you retread a coach you got rid of? I understand you want a guy there helping Jason Kidd through his growing pains, but Lawrence Frank? There's a guy out there called Jeff Van Gundy. There's another guy out there called Stan Van Gundy. If Jason Kidd fails, I think I'd rather have a Van Gundy than a Frank.
True or false? The Chicago Bulls star point guard Derrick Rose deserves the criticism he's getting for not playing in the playoffs this year.
I'm going to say false. No one knows his body, and unless you go through a man's shoes, you just don't know what they're feeling. I criticized Rose this year, you know, for not being able to lace him up. But again, I have to always remember that. I don't know what he was going through, so there's no way any of us, you know, there's no way anyone else knew other than Rose what he was going through. So I don't think that criticism deserves.
True or false, the New England Patriots are not going to win the AFC East this year.
You know what? I'm going to go against the grain. I'm going to say true. I think they're going to have a lot of problems this year now. I think, well, just on the non-Aaron Hernandez issues, apparently now your two starting tight ends are going to probably be Jake Ballard and Tim Tebow. I think they're going to have some problems. I don't know if Belichick is a brilliant enough coach to fix this mess that they're in.
I'm going to chime in on this one. I think false. I think when there's a will, there's a Belichick. And Belichick and...
How long have you been waiting to squeeze that one out?
About a week. I think it's going to be very interesting to see how that plays out. You and I both said that we don't think the Jets are going to be as bad as everyone says they are. It's going to be very interesting to see where that division goes. I think, you know, who can really sneak up and win that division? Miami.
I'm starting to think along those lines now.
Okay. We have a couple more. True or false? You're okay with the Blackhawks taking out an ad in a Boston newspaper praising the Bruins?
False. That bothers me. As a fan, that would bother me. I know it's nice, but I think that's part of the problem with the world. It was so PC. That bothers me some.
True or false? Rajon Rondo will be a member of the Boston Celtics when the season starts.
I'm going to say true, but with the caveat that I'm not holding out any hope by the time the trading deadline comes to play.
True or false, the Dallas Cowboys make the playoffs this year?
Oof. I'm going to say false because they're just mediocre. And they're, you know, there's too much going on in that division. So I'll say false. They have not done anything that makes me think that they're going to be better than 8-8.
Okay, two more. True or false, the Yankees will right the ship?
False. Too many injuries. The pitching is not as good as everyone makes it out to be. They have no hitting. They have no depth in the minors. They're not riding the ship this year.
And the last one, true or false, Eli Manning has 3 solid years left in a Giants uniform.
I think that's true. I would say he probably has maybe even 5, but definitely 3. 3 solid years for sure.
Okay, well, since we are in the New York area, let's really quickly go through some of the New York headlines for all of our New York people. CC implodes on after a no-hit bid ends. Are we over-exaggerating how good CC Sabathia is or used to be?
Yes. Remember, CC Sabathia was a throwaway, basically. You know, he was having a rough time in Cleveland, got banished to the National League and found his fastball. Comes back to the Yankees. Well, if you're a decent pitcher, you should win on the Yankees. But now, that Yankee team's not that good anymore and starting to show his warts again.
Nets are, like we talked about earlier, Nets mold free agent Jason Collins. Sources are confirming, but Chris Broussard says it's highly unlikely. Does Jason Collins deserve another shot in the NBA?
I don't know. I mean, you know, I don't think either one of the Collins brothers is that good. So, to me, with Brooklyn, with all the stuff that's going on with Brooklyn right now, I don't know if you want to add that on top of everything else. It just might be too much for those guys to deal with at this point.
Okay, 3rd man in Florida arrested in the Aaron Hernandez case. At the end of the day, do you see, just 2 parts, A, Aaron Hernandez playing football again, or B, him seeing daylight again?
It's tough to answer. My gut says he'll never see the light of day again, so then probably not, obviously will not play football. I still think, though, I would feel more strongly about saying that if I knew for sure that prosecution had the murder weapon in hand. We don't know what they have right now.
I'm going to go on, and I want to say one other thing about this Aaron Hernandez case. The one thing that we're forgetting about, and it's a very scary factor, especially when you talk about a family that lost a loved one, is the factor of money and the fact that Aaron Hernandez is $40 million to get him the best law team money can buy you. Okay, now, like you just said before, until you have a murder weapon, this might be all moot point. If they don't have a murder weapon, you might be seeing 2 years from now Aaron Hernandez on the football field again.
Oh, yeah, that goes without saying.
Because
I completely agree with you.
One of the reasons why those million-dollar lawyers are there is to find any loophole in the system. And I guarantee you they're going to find a couple loopholes. And if the loophole doesn't get him out scot-free, it's going to lower his sentence to a point where he's not going to be in there that long. Look, I want to remind everybody about the country's legal system. This is the same legal system that put Michael Vick in jail for a couple of years for dogfighting, when that ends up being a longer sentence than a lot of other people get for dogfighting. This is the same legal system. And we have to remind everybody that Plaxico Burress didn't go to jail for shooting himself in the leg. Plaxico Burress went to jail because he had an unregistered gun in New York City. That's the part that everyone seems to be forgetting. But this is also the same legal system that lets a man like Dante Stallworth hit a man while drunk driving, take his life away, had to spend, I don't want to get the stat wrong because I sound ridiculous if I get wrong, but he had a short jail time, had a little bit of house arrest, not allowed to drive a car, but he's allowed to play football again.
It's, you know, it's the world that we live in, unfortunately. I mean, that's the only way we can really explain it. It's just the world that we live in. I believe Leonard Litter was another guy who killed someone while driving, and I don't think did any real jail time, if any, from the St. Louis Rams defensive end. I believe he was another one that had a vehicular homicide, and I don't think he did any time at all. Like, honestly, give anything, maybe like some parole, but
here it is. Saltworth was charged for DUI manslaughter on April 1st, 2009. He surrendered to police on April 2nd, 2009 and was released on a $200,000 bail. As a result of the plea deal, he received a sentence of 30 days in county jail, plus 1,000 hours of community service, 2 years of community control, and 8 years probation. He also received a lifetime suspension of his Florida state driver's license. On July 2009, Stoller was released from county jail after serving 24 days of a 30-day sentence. And that's taking somebody's life away on a DUI charge. Now, that's, you know, you're not encouraging it. That's a good legal team. It's a very good legal team.
Anyway, we have 4 minutes. Let's not do sound off today. Let's just continue on. Let's try to end on a happier note. So
that's fine.
I want to give a quick plug out
to myself, because at this point it sounds ridiculous, but as soon as I get done here, I encourage everybody to go to sportsradio610.com, as I will be on tonight live at 11:30. Breaking down the Nets Celtics trade and the Drew Holiday trade with our good friend Patrick Crane down in Houston, Texas, Sports Radio 610. Go to sportsradio610.com. You can hear me on tonight around 11:30, and the archive will be up on the website, so I'll be live down in Houston, Texas.
Do you get paid for that?
I do not. I get paid with love. I know, you're right out of the cash. I know.
You can only do so much.
If you bring up so much valid points. Back. But,
that's beautiful. Is it
that is. Oh, that is beautiful.
They messed up the line. So what do you have planned this weekend?
Well, we have a whole lot of relaxing. I think that's due. You know, I think we're now at that low point of sports. You know, let's take the legal out of the way. If you're a diehard fan of a certain sport, you always find something going on. Like NFL free agency and NFL offseason is now a all year thing. NBA right now, you're getting ready for the summer league.
Yes.
And Major League Baseball is riding into All Star break. I think it's next week or the week after.
July 16th, I believe.
I think what we should do, Jose, and I think we're gonna, you know, talk to our producer about this and see if we can do this. I think you and I need to go to the Jacob Javits Center for the MLB Ultimate Fan All-Star Experience. I think we should.
I might be on vacation that week, so that might be possible. Only if you're driving.
Okay. I think if we can pull it off, we'll go. If you're here, we'll go.
Yeah, it depends, yeah. Let's see. What day is it all taking place?
All-Star Weekend.
All-Star Weekend? I have a wedding on Saturday. I can say that much right now.
Get your priorities in order.
No, wait, I don't have a wedding on Saturday, no. There's something going on.
Hey, if you say it's the relay, all your tennis shoes, I'm kicking you out of the studio. All right, look, I'm just being honest with you. That's shameful if that happens.
I'll have to check my schedule. It can be a possibility.
Yeah, well, we'll see if we can make that happen.
Yeah.
We have about 90 seconds left here. Check out backsportspage.com and the Real Sports Talk Radio Facebook page. You can always check out Jose on Twitter at AngryJose15, even though he barely tweets. And you can check me out on Twitter, and I tweet every day, at RandyDSP. You can check out my random thoughts. I also want to let everybody know I'm working on an article right now, the 20-year anniversary of the death of Drazen Petrovic. Even though we had the anniversary a couple weeks ago, I'm going to be expanding on it with quotes from a lot of different people, including Mark Price, Kenny Anderson, Derek Coleman, Paul Silas, a lot of people I caught up with and got some quotes from. It's going to be a great piece. I want everybody to check it out on backsportspage.com. And also, Jose is going to have his profile put up on backsportspage.com this week.
Sure. say what? Anyway, also real fast, I want to give a quick plug. I don't have the book title on me at hand right now, but George the Animal Steel, great wrestler from back in our younger days, has released a memoir of sorts, and I think
yes. If
you can find it, Randy, we should get the book so we can take a look at it.
He was just in Ridgewood about a week and a half ago. Definitely check out the Animals book, George the Animal Steel. Unplugged. We have 10 seconds left. We don't forget backsportspage.com, Real Sports Talk Radio on Facebook. Until then, I'm Randy Zelia. So next week, without Jose Padilla, Real Sports Talk Radio, we'll see you next week. I hate that every single week.